Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Listen to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. I received a very strange communication this week via email. Before I share it with you, let me tell you the context. The darkening islands of Great Britain, home to much of the greatest and noblest beauty and genius our race has produced, is these days also home to a self-centered, self-righteous, self-impressed, and habitually lying mulatto who goes publicly by the name of Nico Omelana. With the help of his employees, employers, or handlers, he produced and starred in a recent YouTube video that managed to garner 24 million views, titled, "I Pranked America's Most Racist Man." Up until last week, I'd seen the title of this piece of garbage, but I hadn't bothered to watch it, assuming it was just some non-white or other prematurely dancing and spitting on the grave of the race they think they've killed. But then something happened that made me want to look further. So I did watch it. Outside of lamenting the 34 minutes of my life I can never get back, here are my thoughts. Nico Mulato, not his real name, but I suspect the one he gives isn't his real name either, given his M.O., lies to everyone in this film. He lies to all the people he meets in what he calls America's most racist town, Harrison, Arkansas. Nico tells everyone he's working for the BBC to do a special on why they're not really racist in Harrison and don't really deserve that reputation. This offer of international celebrity and virtue signaling, plus his mixed-race physiognomy, plus the cash he hands out, gets him lots of anti-racist responses. He lies even to the generous people of Harrison who help him. Some of these folks, believing his falsehoods, even help him find 76-year-old Thomas Robb, a Christian identity pastor and the retired leader of a modern Ku Klux Klan group living just outside Harrison, who is the real target of Nico's money-seeking quest. I say money-seeking because video producers who garner large audiences for Jew-run YouTube and meet with favor from the censors and algorithm creators there who boost videos they especially approve of and de-rank or delete ones they don't approve of, can make millions upon millions of dollars on that platform. Many such content creators have retired as millionaires in their 20s or 30s. Robb is cast by the liar as the America's most racist man of the video's title. When Nico finally meets Robb, he puts the lying into overdrive. Not only does he falsely claim to be from the BBC, but he tells Robb that he will be trying to show the world that the Klan's not really racist. Nico also asks the gracious and trusting Robb to give a shout out to viewers in the UK, manipulating Robb by spelling the names in strange and foreign-looking ways, and then asking him to read them out loud, names which sound like, "I'm a pussy, BLM, and suck my D." In a disgusting, "Oh, I'm so clever" moment, Nico tells his viewers that he really is connected to the BBC, because BBC really stands for his Big Black C. Then later, in the interview which trusting and honest Pastor Robb gives to him, he manipulates Robb into saying things like, "I've received the BBC here before," and "I've handled the BBC in the past." Wow, really funny, lying Nico. You graduated from sixth grade when? Last summer? Nico ends his unintentionally self-condemnatory video, the joke's on him in the end, with a smarmy bit where he gifts the poor white man who drove him for free all over the area with no expectation of reward, with $5,000 to help pay for his expensive leg surgery. No more than 0.5% of the million or so Nico will likely make from his lies. How touching, how noble of our new masters to be so thoughtful. How wonderful they are. I've met Thomas Robb, and while I do not agree with his religious or political approach, he is, as far as I can tell, an honest man of integrity and sincerity and kindness. He told the truth as he saw it throughout his interaction with the liar. He was deceived and defrauded and misrepresented and slandered and deserves a couple of million in compensation for the harm caused to him and his family and his church. Now, here's the email I got just a few days after the Too Clever by Half Mulatto's video went viral. Quote, from David Snuts, S-N-U-T-Z, david.snuts@politico.group. Subject, Politico comment request, Kevin Strom. Hello, I trust you are well. I am looking to speak to Kevin Strom and wondered if you would be able to point me in the right direction. I am a senior reporter for Politico, the global authority on the intersection of politics, policy, and power. I am writing to counter a video that amassed 24 million views titled, I Pranked America's Most Racist Man by popular British prankster and YouTuber Nico Omelana. The video has caused a huge discussion online and received what we deem to be unfair and biased coverage from other outlets, including Yahoo News, Lad Bible, Mads.de, and The Independent. Given Kevin's impressive work and career, I would love to ask for his comments on the video and the misinformation spread throughout that other outlets have missed. Our aims are to counter the poor response and would appreciate any comments given. These can, of course, be anonymous, too. I look forward to hearing your response. Thanks, David S. Close quote. Really, Nico? Sent from Britain, not where Politico is headquartered. Sent from a recently created politico.group domain address and not from politico.com. Sent from an obviously fake grade school joke name that matches his modus operandi perfectly, a name which transliterates to David's Nuts. This is not exactly Shavian wit, though it does make me wonder if Nico's YouTube name is just as much of a lie as everything else that comes out of his filthy brown mouth. After all, Nico Omelana is an anagram for, oh, okay, I'm in anal, which would certainly be something he would love to say, though my enthusiasm for that theory is blunted by the question of whether or not he's intelligent enough to do anagrams. Not that it matters. Fako Nico gets no response from me. I sincerely hope that Pastor Rob and his church have a great legal team, and that he and his church get a substantial percentage of the money, say 100%, that Nico and the Jews at YouTube made by defrauding and deceiving an honest and trusting man. And then 20 times that amount besides in punitive damages. We who care about our race have little money. We make the most of what we make and what we are given. But we've never had enough for a proper legal team. Here in the National Alliance, we wouldn't exist at all if it weren't for the tenacity and fighting spirit of our chairman, William White Williams, who captained and paid for personally, in many cases, several lawyers, some very good, some less than worthless, and used them to fight off the lawfare that was used in an attempt to destroy our organization. Very, very few people know the full story behind his fight, much of which is told in his recent book, Pocahontas Show Trial. For his Herculean efforts, Chairman Williams found himself arrested, jailed, slandered, and falsely convicted. He never gave up. and achieved significant victories, and the National Alliance continues to move forward under his leadership. Each one of us who tries to do something positive for his race in a public way, as Will Williams has done for decades, is a sitting duck for the lawfare of our enemies, who have captured the entire legal and governmental establishment in this country. The Alliance is our team. We need far more support than we are getting now in order to have a proper legal department that defends us and goes on the attack for us too when appropriate. If a lesser man than Will Williams had been in charge, we would have no alliance now. Give us the financial support to forge the tools we need, and we will do much more. Our team's media outreach needs to be bigger, too. Much bigger. We need to provide leadership to our entire people, especially to the youth. There are a lot of suspicious things about the recent Tops supermarket shooting incident in Buffalo, New York. Why was alleged killer Peyton Gendron in touch with a retired federal agent just before the attack? If he really was racially motivated, why was a white woman the very first person he shot? Why did he pass off pictures of an internet joke meme as himself in his supposedly serious manifesto? Why are large sections of the manifesto cut and paste from Brendan Tarrant's manifesto? Is there a manifesto writing department in Quantico or Langley? Leaving all of that aside, assume that the shooting is what the controlled media say it is, an angry young white man lashing out at innocent blacks in a hopeless, lone wolf response to the loss of his homeland. Just pretend that's true. When your people are being exterminated and replaced, and that is exactly what is happening to our people, should you respond by intelligent planning, organizing like-minded patriots, creating a community of trust, a community with a deep infrastructure of media, political leadership, spiritual leadership, a self-sustaining economic base, property and business ownership, a network of sympathizers, single-issue front groups, community outreach and education and advancement and marriage opportunities for youth? Or should you respond by grabbing the nearest gun and shooting up grandmothers and kids in the local grocery store? Should you dedicate your life to being the best man or woman you can be and being an example for other white people to follow? Or should you throw your life away in a futile gesture that in the end just helps the enemy and reinforces the false stereotypes he vends about us? There's no question but that you should resist our dispossession. The real question is, should you do it the hopeless, anarchic, fed, manipulated, lone wolf way, the way our enemies love so much they probably do it themselves more than half the time? Or should you do it the rational way, the smart way, the honest way, the incorruptible way, the only way that has a chance of success, a way that is parallel to the way that other nations have freed themselves, but vastly better informed, purer and truer than most such efforts. In short, the National Alliance way. The choice is yours.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. we know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine. A place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now let me, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, antisocial doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces. They just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people, and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.